Wow.
You know, when the stone was rolled away, it wasn't rolled away so he could get out. He walked through walls anyhow after that, but it was open so we could come in. We did a series on that. Miracles from an empty tomb. Oh. John chapter 1, verse 1. You know, from the very beginning, God accomplished everything through his word. He spoke the universe into existence by his word. Everything through his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing. Him, the word, was nothing made that was made. In him was life. Say that. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world didn't know him. Verse 14 says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, the Word, and without the Word was nothing made that was made. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he, the Word, that created the universe, everything in it, every atom, every sound wave, every alpha and gamma ray, everything minute and visible and invisible, all power sources of this universe, all made by him, the Word. And he was made flesh and dwelt among us, dwelt with us. And he came and taught us exactly how God operates. He taught us about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God operates. Taught us about the love of God. He taught us about how the kingdom works, how faith works, and how the words of faith work. He taught us all these. This is the guy who made it. He created all of it. Now he's sitting and teaching us all how it works. He taught us about the spiritual laws that were designed by God, created by God, for us, to work for us. And because of our fallen nature, the devil was using those same laws to work against us, filling our thoughts with negative things so we would speak negative things. And we believe those in our heart and speak them with our mouth, they come to pass, and we wonder why we have problems. When Jesus said, if you say with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall have what you say. He's teaching them the spiritual principles of the Word of God. The Word came to Isaiah. And he said, so, this is all through the Bible, from Genesis 1 to Revelation. Isaiah said, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Every word of God written and recorded for us here has the ability to accomplish God's plan for that word in your life. Every word. And it will continue to grow in you and to grow you. That word prosper in Isaiah 55:11, it means this. It means to push forward and to break out. Push forward, break out. It implies a continual process of multiplication. That's what the word prosperity means. So with that, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, Paul starts talking about the power of God. We're studying this, by the way, in Bible study. or in 1 Corinthians 2. And he says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined, I decided, it was my plan not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Does that sound like a man of faith? Talking about his weakness and fear and trembling. You know, faith doesn't deny that you have weaknesses. Faith doesn't deny that you have, that you're afraid about certain things.
Right.
Faith doesn't deny those things. Faith doesn't deny that you're in trembling. But faith keeps going on regardless. You might be shaking in your boots, but you're standing there and you're declaring the word of God. And the doctor says you've got cancer, you're terminal. And you're shaking and you feel weak. But you say, no, I don't receive your report.
Amen.
I believe his report. And his report says, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed.
Amen.
Well, what if it's God's will? It's not God's will for anybody to be sick of anything, anytime. That's not his plan for you. That's not his, that's not a blessing.
Amen.
God created, you want to see his will? Just turn to the garden. That's his perfect will. Turn to Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, the blessing of Abraham. That's his will. Everything contrary to that is after that. Contrary to his will. God doesn't want anybody to perish. So it's not wrong. If you feel weakness, it's not a sign of no faith. If you feel fear, it's not a sign of no faith. Amen?
Amen.
It's okay to have that feelings, but not to be led by those feelings. And to believe in the new creation you've become. And in that new creation is faith, power, dunamis, kratos, ishkus, power. Jesus walked in all three of those kinds of power. And he is the perfect will of God manifest in the flesh. Did he ever make anybody sick?
No.
Never. Bing. Yeah. But if you don't know his will, you'll never believe him. And you'll never receive it. Why? Because faith begins where the will of God is known. If you didn't know it was God's will for you to be saved, you couldn't have gotten saved. Could you? I was, why? He said, my speech, in verse 4, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Demonstration in the Spirit and power. Now, that's different from knowledge. There's more to ministry than just knowledge, than just words, than just speaking and talking. There's more to that. He says, demonstration of the Spirit and power. There's more to real church, real ministry, than politics, than denominational positioning and all of those things. No, it's power. Now, you may have gotten something out of a man and a woman or who's anointed by God to speak to you. But if it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, if it's an anointed ministry of God, there's power released. There's power that comes to you. And something on the inside of you goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, 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 I get that. And all of a sudden, new hope comes. New strength comes. New vision comes. And you can see yourself, instead of the weakness of defeat, you can see yourself in the power of his strength.
Yes.
The Lord of glory. Now all of a sudden you can see with new eyes and you're seeing yourself as a victorious person. Why? Because there was power demonstrated by the Holy Spirit. You saw yourself as he sees you. Power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I like that song. Ghost. You know, religious people say, oh God, it's not a ghost. Well, have some fun, will you? Get out of the encyclopedia and get into the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And it's amazing how the Word of God will just come to life. Because once you got the author of the Word and the code, then you got the code, and you can run with it. So, there's more to it than just denominational stuff and whatever, just words. There's revelation. There's power that's released. Power, demonstration and of the Spirit and power. That's not just talk, it's power. Paul said this, and my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. This is not something that man can come up with. If Jesus never lived, no man could have ever invented him. Why? Because you can't get light from darkness. You can't get righteousness from unrighteousness. You can't get order out of confusion. That's why the Big Bang Theory doesn't work. Keep reading. Verse 5. Why is it demonstration of the Spirit power? So that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our faith should not stand in what somebody thinks, or what somebody believes, or their opinion. Our faith needs to be in what? The power of God. The power of God. Maybe some of, you know, I don't want to go there, that's a rabbit trail. But there's something in the anointed word that causes you to push forward and break through. You know, we did a series a number of years ago, The God of the Breakthrough, and from 2 Samuel chapter 5, where David was just anointed king, and it was a decisive defeat against the Philistines. And first he said, God, should I do it? And he said, yeah, go up and give it to you. So he did, and he defeated him. Then they came again the other time. David says, should I do it again? And he says, no, this time don't do it. Just stay back here. And then I want you to go around to this side. And when you hear the sound of marching soldiers in the trees, then attack, and I'll destroy them. And he did. God would always give you a strategy. You just wait and listen to it. But what I'm getting to is David honored God, and he called the name of that place, of that victory, Baal Perazim. Baal meaning deity, and Perazim meaning breakthrough, breakout. He called God the God of the breakthrough. Yeah. And he knew he was the God of the breakthrough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you got to look at him that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That God's thoughts are his plans. He is the God of the breakthrough, and he's breaking you out. Amen. He is breaking you out. Amen. Of the old mindset that calls you, you're not like them. Why are you comparing yourself to somebody else? You'll always be second best that way. God created you because you are unique. You are unique. You have a personality in you that he has breathed into you. But not only that, he has given you his personality in the new creation. It's all there. Now you say, well, why are you telling me all this? I thought we were talking about the power of the blood. Because this has everything to do with the power of the blood. Everything to do with the power of the blood in the Word of God. Mm. You getting ready for this?
Yeah.
Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. You know, this book is more than just words on a page. Although those pages are filled with words, it's more than the words on those pages. This word, the Bible, is more than just a historical account, although, unlike other religions that are based in philosophy, this is based and rooted in history. But it's not the words on the page or the history or the facts. All they do is bear witness of something that is so much greater than all. This is the God who influenced history, who changed it to work for you. This is the book of life. More specifically, it's the book of eternal life. The Zoe life of God, the substance of what makes God, God, became flesh. If you feed on it, it will reproduce itself in you. And Peter said, you'll be a partaker of the divine nature. Well, that sounds like a cult, doesn't it? No, it's the Bible. It's real. Incorruptible, ever-living, life-giving seed. So Luke chapter 1, We'll start in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. You know, God knows all these people. He knows you. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And she, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered to her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month with her, who is called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word." It was done. That's when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and that's when she conceived. How did that happen? She believed the word. She received it. She spoke, "Let it be unto me according to your word." That word to her was the sperm. The word of God is pregnant with power and life. And when she received it, it came. That's when the Holy Spirit shattered her. Boom! She conceived right at that moment. God doesn't waste time. As soon as she agreed with the word. When you agree with the word, things happen in your life. You may not feel it, but things happen in your life. And tomorrow you may wake up and say, "Yeah, you know something? Something happened." You may notice a change, whatever. But the thing is to get in the stream. Start saying what the word says. Start saying, "Let it be done unto me. Let it be done unto me." And the angel departed from her. It was done. At that very moment, Mary conceived Jesus in her womb. And several things need to be understood here. Number one is, it was the word spoken to her, received and verbally acknowledged by her, that conception occurred. It's the same way it happens with us. Romans 10. What does it say? "The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith, which we preach. "That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." New creature, God born in you, Jesus, reproduced in you. So she received it. Number two is, we know that the blood supply of an unborn baby does not come from the mother. It comes from the father. That's a medical fact, okay? Always comes from the seed and not the egg. The blood supply is always generated from the father. When Jesus was conceived in that womb, the blood was in the seed. And it was the blood of the father. When you were born again, do you know the blood of the Father was conceived in you? Jesus' entire being was in the seed of that word. His entire spirit, soul, and body was in that seed. Every cell of his physical body was in the seed of that word. His entire nervous system, his eyesight, with having the ability to receive and assimilate light, the physical world, his hearing, his audio faculties, distinguishing various sounds, his physical heart pumping blood through his body, and even the blood itself was in that seed. Monse, when you picked up Noah, when he was first born, did you say, "Man,
Does he have a heart, lungs? Does he have a kidney? No. It was in the seed. All of it was in the seed. All of it was in the seed. Mary agreed with it. She believed it, received it, and confessed it with her mouth. It was done. She conceived your Savior and mine. If you want to know the truth, he delivered the one. She delivered the one who would soon deliver her. That's Mark Lowry. I can't take credit for that. Mary, did you know that the baby you delivered will soon deliver you? God bless Mark. Thank you. And right now, I just had to do something. A friend of mine, I've known him for 15 years. His wife had open heart surgery about a month. She went into the hospital. Let's just agree together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Mary to you, Barbara to you, and Craig. Lord, we loose. You said whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Whatever we bind on earth, we just break the power of this thing over her life. And we loose your full supply. Your full supply of healing and restoration. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. And restore her peace to her, too. When we think of the blood, we think of when Jesus rose from the dead and he brought his blood to the Holy of Holies in heaven, poured it out on the mercy seat, forever sealing eternal redemption for all who believe. And here we are down here, and there's the blood up there. Blood is far-reaching. It ran over the mercy seat. It fills every word that God ever spoke. It filled the word he spoke to Mary. It filled the words that were spoken to you in the gospel, has the mercy of God in it, and bought by that blood. And that blood is so accessible. The blood that washes and cleanses us. It's a wonderful, marvelous cleansing. Amen?
Amen.
Do you need any mercy today?
Amen.
Look at this. Let's see, Leviticus. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Now that's Old Testament, where the blood would cover them for a year. But the blood of Jesus doesn't just cover us, it cleanses us. It washes us. It cleanses us. It works with the word. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, it calls the word, there's a cleansing power of the word of God. Why is that? Because the cleansing power is in the blood that is in the word that comes to you. The mercy of God is so full in that word. It's rich with mercy. Because of the blood. You know, when Adam sinned, God couldn't just go, well, you know, King's X, we'll just do a do-over here. He couldn't. Why? Because now God is locked out, and the new God of this world is enforcing a legal thing against God, because his man, who was put in charge of this whole thing, given authority over all the works of his hand, has now separated himself from God, and now Adam is a son of the devil. His nature changed from life to death. The same death of the devil. The same nature of the devil. And the death process had already started in Adam. It wasn't something God said, okay, let's do it over. Could he? Oh yeah. But God doesn't go against the will of a man or a woman. This was Adam's deal. And I'm sure we can thank him later. Let me see. The blood of Jesus washes. The washing of the water by the word. Why? Because the blood is in the word. It voices everything that the blood is. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath its flood, lose all their guilty stains, all their guilty stains, all their guilty stains. There is no more stains. There's no more evidence for the devil to use against you. Stains are gone. You are white as snow. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. How did that happen? From the word of God that came to you in the gospel that said Jesus rose from the dead. He paid for your sins. It's paid in full. 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 Get rid of it. It's done.
Amen.
It's all done.
Amen.
God's righteousness has now come upon you and made you as righteous as he is. There is no inequality between you and God now. You are his and he is yours. This is covenant. Not just legal contracts that can be canceled. This is covenant that cannot be annulled. You like this so far? How do you like this series so far? I like it. We may not go on to it. There's so much in this. This is tall cotton. You just can't really get to the end of this. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The word was made flesh. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The word was made flesh. And when you speak his word, the blood of the mercy seat of heaven is in that word. It's just as good as there because it's there. It's all one. Look at this verse. You're going to love this. This is he that came by water and the blood. Now, water in the New Testament means two different things. It means the word, the washing of the water by the word, and it also refers to the Spirit, but they all work together. This is he that came by water, word and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by word or what only, but by word and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. Every word of God that you speak agrees with the blood, is in total agreement with God's mercy. It is a blank check. How much mercy do you want? How much mercy do you think God is full of? That word is filled with that mercy. God doesn't... I wish I could capture this in human words, but I can't do it right now. The life of God in the Word came to us. 1 John chapter... Let's do this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold that perish, from your vain conversation, received from the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. His blood, one drop, think of the universe. Think of all the planets and stars and everything that have all this power in it. Hi, guys. And you think of the rich uranium deposits or the rich, you know, all of these gold and whatever and all of these different things. His blood is, one drop of that blood is more precious than anything this universe even has. Anything this planet can ever produce. It's more precious than gold and silver that perish. You know, when this universe, Peter said, the same Peter, said the fire's going to hit this place one day and it'll all melt with fur and heat. And the silver and gold will be nothing. It'll disintegrate and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And the old earth and the old heaven will pass away and we will have no memory of it. It's gone. You don't need a memory of this, believe me. There's better things. First John 1:7 says this. I'm connecting the word and the blood. The word and the blood. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Walk in the light. As you walk in the light, what is the light? In him, the word was life. And the life was the light of men, right? So we have this whole thing intertwines, and it's all rooted in the mercies of God. This may not be like the most exciting thing in the world, but I'll tell you, this is a revelation that you need. Because next time you need God's mercy, all you need to do is open up your mouth and start saying, Lord, I believe that I am a new creation in Christ. Your word says so. Your word says that Jesus is your mercy seat. And I partake of that blood now. I thank you, Lord, that I have confessed my sins. And it says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I receive my cleansing. I receive your power and your strength to walk this thing out. I thank you that I have it. I take it and I'll walk in it and just start confessing the word. You know what happens? Mercy. Mercy starts happening. Angels start coming and ministering to you and strengthening you. Just like they did with Jesus after his temptation. And they will strengthen you. And the mercies of God are loosed, released from heaven towards you. And now you're walking not in just a Sunday school type of thing. You're walking in God. You're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're walking in the power that the Father designed you to contain on the inside of you. It's his strength in you. And it all comes through the word. It's the power of the blood of Jesus. It's been accepted in heaven as full payment. Now, that blood was paid for your sins, right? That blood also did something else. It satisfied heaven's demands of justice against sin, against you. There had to be a day. There had to be a death. Because sin, the wage of sin is death. Jesus died. He took the wages of your sin upon himself. Not only the sin, but the judgment against sin. He bore your judgment against sin. He took that spiritual death into his spirit, your death. And I know people don't like, Jesus went to hell. If he didn't, you'd have to go there. That's all there is to it. Jesus died spiritually. It says this, that he tasted death for every man. That's spiritual death. And he was made alive again in the spirit, in the spirit, in the spirit. How could you make him alive again in the spirit if he wasn't dead in the spirit? He did it. It's paid in full. It's done. He did it. He deposited all that in hell, took authority, rose up above it, came out of that grave, rose to the Father and said, here. Oh, remember, Mary thought he was the gardener. And he said, don't touch me. I haven't gone to the Father yet. You got to take care of some things. Mercy. Mercy, mercy. Then he came down and he started speaking to them. And his mercy was started to impart. The mercies of God are something you need to study because it involves a lot more than just forgiveness. The mercies of God are a oneness with him and his righteousness. It's a oneness with God. You're one with the word, you're one with God. When you receive his word, you receive him. So number one, it's been accepted in heaven as full payment for any and all sins. It turns, it absorbs God's wrath away from believers and authorizes the Father to impart mercy. The Father believes in that blood and it's speaking to him. Do you know the blood of Abel spoke to God from the ground? How much more does the blood of Jesus speak to God? Amen. Amen? It absorbs his wrath. And if you want to know the truth about it, God had to pay a legal price for that blood in order to forgive you. God paid a price, the most precious price he could come to pay so that he can forgive you. God paid for the right to forgive you. The legal right. Heavens, without changing who he was, without sacrificing his righteousness, but fulfilling it through Jesus, he can love you and be merciful to you and forgive you and walk with you in love. Why? Because Jesus paid a legal price that the devil was demanding. He gave his life as a ransom. Didn't he? He paid the ransom. Number three is, it's the Father's own blood and is therefore the redemptive authority in heaven. Oh, in heaven and earth and authorizes God's mercy to all who come by Jesus. When you come to God by Jesus, there is nothing but mercy waiting for you. This is the truth that will continue to push you forward and break you through. You will know him as the God of the breakthrough. Why? Because the blood. It is in the Word of God. That Word of God is in you. You are one with him. You agree with him. You agree with the Word. You agree with his mercy and the blood. It's all intertwined in Jesus. The Word of God is God. And the Word was and will continue to be made flesh in us as we continue in the Word. The freedom we seek is there in the blood, already shed for you. Now it dictates the mercies of God in your life. Think of that. Is this all grace? All sufficiency in all things? Supplying you with the mercies of heaven. Now, this is the revelation God wants you to have. Because when you come to him, there's no shortage of grace. There's no shortage of mercy. That's why he wants his word to dwell richly in you. Because it's filled with them. That's the power of the blood. This is the power of the blood. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blood. We thank you that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. And that the real us has yet to be tapped into in many ways. But Lord, we know it's there. And we know because we are new creations, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. We thank you, Father, that your ability lives in us to accomplish.